Luke chapter 1. We read this last week. We had some sickness among us last week, and so I wanted to read it again and give you some context, because we're going to be talking about Mary today. This is some fun stuff. Amen? Amen? Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, starting at verse 8. Bible says, "Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priest, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. When the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. He is never to take wine. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make a people prepared for the Lord.' Zechariah asked the angel, 'How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years.' The angel answered, 'I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time.' Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. And after this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. 'The Lord has done this for me,' she said. 'In these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people.' Lord, I thank you. I thank you that you move in a temple. I thank you that you move in Nazareth, and I thank you that you move in City Heights. Lord, I pray protection, Lord, from something as simple as the flu bug that goes around, and it's a tough bug this year. Lord, I pray your provision, your guidance and direction, Lord, as we would put our eyes upon you, and you would be glorified in our midst, Lord, that we can celebrate you. We pray that you would come near to us, guide and direct us, in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Everyone said?
Amen,
amen, amen, amen. Well, read about Zechariah, and there was a slight disruption in his life. He could not speak for 9-10 months. That's disrupting. Can I get a witness on that? Well, now, I want to talk to you about a little disruption that's going on in my life. We got notified, I'm going to say maybe March or April of last year, that we needed to convert our kitchen to a commercial kitchen downstairs. Moving from our quaint little church kitchen to something like this dazzling, shining, stainless steel commercial kitchen. This is not our kitchen or what our kitchen will be, but it will look something like that. And so I was thinking, okay, you know, it's got to be done on January 21st. I'm figuring, okay, we'll start in October. And the beginning of October, I downloaded from Environmental Services the packet. I was hoping to download a couple of sheets, but it indeed turned out to be a packet of about 50 pages of instructions of all the requirements for a commercial kitchen. And I began to go through them, and I realized they're using words. I don't even know what they mean. But I did realize that we're going to have to make some changes to our kitchen. We're going to have to change the walls. We're going to have to change the floors. We're going to have to change the cabinets. We're going to have to change the tables. We're going to have to change the exhaust system. And we're going to have to change the drainage system. And I realized, did somebody say that's a lot? Who said that? Buy you lunch today. It is a lot. I found, Mike says, it's a lot. I found that I was indeed over my head. Can I get a witness? And I found a total disruption in my life. We are in this series called All I Want for Christmas. Our hopes, our dreams, we kind of get this stuff that's laid before us, and we just kind of want to move into all that. We started this series last week, and I read from the earlier part of Luke, we'll move through from verse 26 on today, that God stepped into, had Gabriel step into the temple and stepped into Zechariah's life and brought complete disruption. Stepped into we don't know how old. Zechariah says she's well along in years, but Elizabeth's life is disrupted as well. And we come to our text today where the angel Gabriel steps into a young girl named Mary's life. And again, there is disruption. These opening two chapters serve as the introduction to Luke's gospel. And as we take a look at our text today, that this is the high point of that introduction. We see God introducing some massive theological issues here, some big stuff, like the divine sonship of Jesus, his rule and reign as Messiah over the kingdom of Israel. We see God as Most High. We see the power of the Holy Spirit revealed in this young lady, and we see the grace of God come rolling into Mary's life. That grace moves towards Mary as she says yes to her place in the plan of God. It's all last week. Elizabeth said, yes, I'll take a child. And what I would make plain to you today is that there is a place in the plan of God for all those who would say yes. Amen? Title of this message is, All I Want for Christmas is My Place in the Plan. We'll take a look at Mary today, starting at chapter 26, chapter 1, verse 26 and 28. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David, King David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel went to her and said, Greetings, you are highly favored, the Lord is with you. And Gabriel makes a visit to Galilee, to a town called Nazareth. He moves from the temple to the town. Nazareth not have much of a reputation in the day. Gospel of John, Andrew tells his brother, Nazareth, can anything good come from there? Nazareth or Galilee is in the north of the Holy Land up here, and here is Nazareth there, and down here is Judea. And you can get a feel for how far Nazareth would be from Jerusalem. It'd be like Temecula. Temecula is a bit of a haul. Amen? I mean, you go to Escondido, okay, but Temecula, man, that's over the hill, right? And so Galilee doesn't have the greatest reputation among those favored of the Lord, because they're surrounded by Gentiles and they speak Greek up there. And so they are seen as being a little lax in the traditions of the Lord. Can anything come from Nazareth? Now, the angel Gabriel, this is such an incredible contrast. As Gabriel approaches a 13 or 14-year-old girl, as opposed to last week, he goes right into the temple and he talks to his old righteous priest as he is lighting the incense. I mean, if God wanted to make a splash, He could have just had Gabriel walk out of that temple with Zechariah. People are going, what's taking so long? What's taking so long? And everybody's focused on the door, and boom, out comes this, I don't know, I figure angels maybe 10 feet tall. It's just a guess. I'm figuring he's, anybody, I'm not thinking you got 4-foot angels. Amen? I mean, it's like, who are you? You know, an elf? No, no. So I'm thinking he's a big old angel. I mean, he could have spun everything up in an instant there. But that's not God's plan. That's not God, how God rolls. We see a little picture of how God rolls as Paul writes to the church in Corinth. God chose the weak things of the world. The weak things of the world to shame the strong. So my question for you this morning is, how weak are you? And how strong are you? And how available are you for the Lord to approach you and ask you to be part of his plan? I hope you're ready, because the Lord will make a place for anyone who says yes. Amen? He made a shepherd boy the king of Israel. All you got to do is say yes. Let's keep on going. Verses 29 to 33. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus, Joshua. Joshua. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. He will be king. His kingdom will never end." God's plans are big. Amen? You say yes to the Lord this morning, or if you have said yes to the Lord in your past, God will move you into something that is bigger than you. Because if you can, it's not bigger than you, you can handle it on your own. And God does God-sized stuff. Amen? Now, Mary's troubled. Not just troubled. Greatly troubled. She's greatly troubled at this greeting. She's not so troubled at the approach of Gabriel. Where Zechariah was freaking, she is worried about or wondering what is coming next. You have found favor with God, and you ever wonder what comes next? You have found favor with God. What do you want me to do, Lord? What is? See, Zechariah got into trouble in the temple because he was looking for proof. He wanted Gabriel to prove himself. What Mary is looking for is the details. How is this going to work out? Amen? You're going to have a son, Mary. And he's going to be the Messiah. He'll be the Son of God Most High. He will reign over the kingdom of Israel. He will sit the throne of David, and his kingdom will never end. You might take a breath after that. Amen? Whew, that is big. God is stepping into the affairs of men. People have been praying, God, where's the Messiah? Where's our Savior? To step into the affairs of men, he steps into the life of Mary. He had laid the foundation for this hundreds of years earlier. This is a favorite Christmas verse, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel, God with us. 600 years before Christ. 400 years before that, as the prophet, the Lord speaks to King David. And he says in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 and 13, "When your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." See, God makes a place for all those who say yes. Amen? Back to the kitchen. October rolled in, and I am reading all this stuff and realizing that I am indeed over my head. And so what I did was I went down to our kitchen with my phone and I took pictures of all four walls. And I went down to Environmental Services just to kind of roll over the plans that I had and the changes that I was going to make and ask them the changes that I needed to make. And this young man was there, and he was quite helpful. But I think it became apparent to him that I indeed was in over my head. And so he said, just in case you're wondering, I have a list of people here that do this for a living, and they can provide help for you. And it was a photocopied paper front and back of business cards of guys who did this. And I smiled as he gave me that sheet. And I started calling all the names, and all I was getting was answer machines. Don't you hate that? So I'm calling, and I'm calling, and I'm thinking, oh, I'm not smiling anymore. This guy calls me back, Tony. And he says, I can come meet you this afternoon. Said, come on out. And here he comes, driving up in a Mini Cooper. And he's a kid. He's like 30. I know some of you kids are thinking, that's old. Well, to me, that's a kid. And he gets out. And I take him through the quaint church kitchen that we have, and he's just smiling, and he just says, no problem. I'm like, no problem? No problem. This is what I do. And I said, January 21st? No problem. I can draw this up. I can get you a couple of rough ideas, and we can go through that and rough this thing out and get the plans down to environmental, and we'll get you rolling. And he's smiling. And I start smiling, and as I am over my head, I realize that I have somebody to guide me through. As you say yes to the Lord, and he shows you a big plan, you can sometimes feel like you're over your head. Amen? But he won't leave you alone. He'll give you somebody, like Gabriel, he gave to Mary, to guide her through the challenges, because he'll never leave you, and he'll never forsake you. Amen? All right. Are we good? All right. I got one more story about the kitchen, just one, but comes up in a minute. All righty. God gives Mary the details, like Tony gave me the details. Hallelujah. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin? The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And it all starts off with a miracle. Mary is looking for her place in the plan. How is this going to work out for me, Lord? Where Zechariah wants proof, she's looking for the details. And realistically, if you take a step back from this whole situation, there's really not that big of a problem. Because Mary is engaged. And in a short period of time, less than a year anyway, at the longest, she's going to be married, and children would rapidly come after that. It's just natural. But Mary realizes as she is speaking with Gabriel that he is speaking something far more than natural. That she is talking, that he is describing something supernatural and very quick. And she is wondering how God is going to accomplish this in her life. And he says that the power of the Most High God is going to overshadow you. Now, the word here in Greek is episkiazo. Episkiazo. It's okay. You can be totally impressed by the fact that I know a Greek word. But I want to give you some pictures. The Holy Spirit, the Lord, the power of the Most High, is going to episkiazo you, Mary. I want to give you some pictures of episkiazo. And one is in the Old Testament at the completion of the tabernacle. And as I read this, I got a picture here. It's just crayon or whatever that is. But it says, Exodus chapter 40, verse 35, Moses could not enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled. Episkiazod. The cloud had episkiazod on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Okay? So here we have a picture of the tabernacle, and they just got it done. They got all the sacrifices going on, and the glory of God falls on the tabernacle, and the priest can't even go in. It's so radical. Pisciazzo. On the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter is talking and kind of babbling on, and a cloud forms, and the Lord God, the Father, speaks out of the cloud. And it says here, while he was speaking, Peter, a cloud appeared and covered them. A cloud episkiazoed them, right? And God speaks out of it in the next verse. And he says, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And so I wanted to give you a feel for what would happen in Mary's life as the power and the glory of God manifested itself in Mary's life, and she was prepared for her place in the plan of God. You guys rolling with me on that? It's not just Mary that God prepares for her place in the plan. See, when you say yes, God makes a place for you in his plan. And the Bible tells us, Paul writing again to the church in Corinth, to each one, a manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So, as Mary, as God episkiazoed over Mary and prepared her for the place, the Holy Spirit prepares you for your place in the plan if you will say yes. Amen? All right, last story. Oh, sorry. I'm not here to my last story yet. Verses 36 to 38, I'm sorry. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For nothing, you know, underline this in your Bible if you got it open. Nothing is impossible with God. Can I get a witness on that part? I'm going to read it again. For nothing is impossible with God. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word be fulfilled in me. And then the angel left her. And he said, God's already working a miracle in Elizabeth. Elizabeth has been undercover. She has been in seclusion through 5 months. This is the sixth month. Now, maybe word got out, and maybe Mary knows about Elizabeth's pregnancy. But perhaps Gabriel is breaking the news to Mary. Old Aunt Elizabeth is going to have a baby. Old woman having a baby could be more of a miracle than Mary having one. But folks, a miracle is a miracle. Think of the flood. Think of the Sodom and Gomorrah. Think of God making Adam out of dirt. Nothing's impossible with God. Can I get a witness on that? And it does not even appear to be a challenge. There is nothing that causes God to sweat. Can I get a witness on that? And so God does a miracle in Elizabeth. God does a miracle in Mary. God will do a miracle in you. Amen. He spoke creation into existence. And she says, I am the Lord's servant. Word there is doulos. Means bond servant. Says, I'll do whatever the Lord wants me to do. Now, this disruption in Mary's life would come at a great cost. She would be a single mother. There would be disgrace. There would be challenge. There would be incredible pain as her son is crucified on the cross. My wife cries as Mary, and they show on the Passion of the Christ, how Mary reaches to comfort Jesus on his way to the cross, and she just sees her son, my son, Joe, and she just can't handle it. In the midst of all that, you say yes to God, he gives you a place. You say yes to God, he gives you confirmation. Yeah. Elizabeth's having a baby. You can check that out. Now, we started rolling through the drawings, and, you know, I have an engineering degree. I'm kind of a smart guy. But I'm telling you, I got a challenge wrapping my brain around this kitchen project. It's like so much minutia is involved. And, you know, I don't know, it's 2 weeks ago. And I had done this before, a couple months ago. And because I just said, Lord, you know, I said, Lord, you really want to do this? I mean, we could go on without the meal program. I said, Lord, do you really want to do this? It's going to be hard, Lord. And it was my prayer time in the morning. And I get up and I go over to the city because we got to find the drain. You know, and it's an old building. And I'm looking through all the drawings. There's nothing. And so I talk to Tony. And he says, you go downtown. Look at all the drawings they got down there. I said, oh. Because we're thinking and we're going to have to just, because we get to the drain, you got to cut through concrete. I'm like, no way. And so I go downtown and they're closed. I go back 2 hours later. They're open. I got to wait. And I go see. They got one drawing of the church, and the drawing is so black you can't even see anything. It's just black. So I'm disappointed. So I start calling these plumbing companies that do locating of pipes. And I'm calling around, same type of thing, answer machine. And these people, we can come out in 2 weeks and this and that. So I call this one lady, and she's like half the price of all the other ones. And she goes, when do you want to do it? And I said, well, maybe tomorrow. She goes, well, you know, she called me back. I got a guy in your area. I can give you next up. I'm like, next up? Well, actually, that works. Yeah, next up would be good. He's here in 15 minutes. And he's going, so where's this pipe going? And he's got this little machine, you know, like a little gold finder thing. You know, beep, 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 beep. And he's walking around. And he's going, where could this be? Where could this be? And he's like, I can't find it. I'm like, and so he's doing his thing, and I'm doing some other stuff. And he goes, well, I found it. And because we're looking, maybe it goes in the alley 10 feet under grade. Oh, what a nightmare. And maybe it's going out here. Oh, what a nightmare. I kid you not. He says, this is your pipe right here. It goes out right underneath the kitchen. He's got a tape on it. It goes right underneath the sinks that we got to tie into. If we laid the pipes last week, we could not have laid them in a better place that they laid them 40 years ago. I say, okay, God, you got the lead on this. See, you say yes. God will make a place and God will make a way. Amen? All right. No more kitchen stories. I'm sorry. All right. Come later. Me and Mike will tell you a bunch of them. Things are lining up. Things are lining up for Mary. Things are lining up for us downstairs. It's a good thing. Verses 39 and 40. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried off to the town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. Mary is on the move, heads off to Judea. Now, I showed you this map before. Galilee on the top. Judea's down here. And we don't know where Zechariah's house is. But it's out in the sticks. And Elizabeth is in seclusion for 5 months. I mean, she's an old lady. She's well along in years. And she doesn't want to have anything disrupt the pregnancy. You heard about that before, right? I mean, it's like bed rest and all this kind of stuff for people that have miscarriages and that kind of stuff. You know what I want to tell you? Elizabeth could have been in the temple. She could have been in downtown Jerusalem because why? Nothing's going to happen to that pregnancy. Why? Because God had already said, your son is going to come forth in the power and spirit of Elijah. That pregnancy is coming to term. Can I get a witness on that? Why? Because nothing is impossible with God. But she's out in the sticks. We don't know where it is. It's going to be 50 to 70 miles from Nazareth down to Judea, like taking a nice, leisurely stroll to Temecula. I don't even like driving to Temecula so far. You can make about 10 miles a day in a caravan, because she would have taken a caravan, and there would have been caravans going from Galilee to Jerusalem and back, because it wasn't safe for to travel the roads and for young, especially a 13, 14-year-old to be out there alone. So she would have grabbed onto a caravan. She would have gone down. They would make about 10 miles a day. Take a week to walk at that pace from here to Temecula. But Mary's going to verify that message. And you know what? You can verify the message of the Lord. The message of the Lord is strong enough, stout enough, that you can take a, that you can look into it. I'm going to check this thing out. I'm going to see if this is really for real. And in fact, not only does God welcome it, he encourages it. Paul writes, or Luke writes about Paul in the book of Acts, chapter 17, verse 11. The Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, because they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. God will welcome your investigation, and God will approve of your investigation. And as you take a look at the Word of God and the message of God and your place in the plan of God, it all lines up. And if it doesn't, you know, if we were to run into train wreck, there are so many confirmations in this kid. Sorry, I told you what I'm going to talk about. But, so many confirmations. I could talk for 15 minutes. All along the way, the Lord is confirming and confirming and affirming. And you begin to just roll with it, and you begin to rely upon it. Amen? And if it's not happening, God's saying, you're not in my plan. You're working your plan. That's why it's a train wreck. You need to say no to that and yes to me, and I'll make you a place in my plan. Amen? All right, last thing I got for you. Verses 41 to 45. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." Mary gets a confirmation. Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. She is flowing in the plan of God. Morning sickness at 5 months. Well, 6 months now, morning sickness is gone, right? Stretch pains are coming, stretch marks are coming, and birth pains are coming down the road. A disruption in Elizabeth's life. But her son is going to move forth in the spirit and power of Elijah. Holy Spirit comes upon her and comes upon her unborn child, John the Baptist. And Mary gets a confirmation. She walks in the door. Elizabeth knows nothing about what's going on with Gabriel. But the Lord does. And the Lord verifies and validates it all in Elizabeth. And she says, "Who am I to come into the presence of the mother of my Lord?" And Mary says, "It's true. It's real. I can bank my life on the Lord. Blessed are you among women." She's blessed because she said yes. When you say yes, God will make your place in the plan. And as we read earlier, Elizabeth's got a place. She said yes. Oh, yes, God has taken my disgrace away from me. So Mary says yes, Elizabeth says yes, and Zechariah still can't talk. What's your message for the Lord? What's your word to him? We come today and we see the Mary miracle. Because Mary said, yes, God has a place for her in his plan. And we see the Elizabeth miracle. She has a place in the plan. And we see the John the Baptist miracle. And he has a place in the plan because they said yes. And so many around here have said yes to the Lord. There's the Gale miracle. There's the Tommy miracle. There's the Aaron miracle. There's the Lisa miracle. There are so many miracles because there's so many yeses. And there's confirmations along the way. There's a place in the plan. And there's somebody to go along with you. Amen? You can come up and play, Lisa. You're here this morning. And many of you have got the details. You have heard from the Lord, you verified it, and you are moving ahead, and it is wonderful to serve with you and to serve you, that God does mighty miracles in you and through you. But some of you are like Zechariah. I don't know. You know, the first thing that Zechariah says when John the Baptist is born is, yes! And the Zechariah miracle happens. He gets a place in the plan of the Lord. You're here this morning, and you've struggled with that yes. And maybe the Lord is speaking to you this morning. Say, you know, you can trust me, and I have a place for you. But you won't get a place until you say yes. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you're good and mighty and awesome. Here this morning, and the Lord is indeed saying to you, I am good and mighty and awesome, and I have a place for you in my plan. Are you ready to say yes? Are you ready to be part? Are you ready for a miracle to happen in your life and to be part of something that is way bigger than you? He says, I'm waiting for a yes, and I make this offer to you this morning. Come and join me. Are you ready for a yes? Nobody's looking around this morning. But the Lord is speaking right to your heart. You're saying, I don't want to be like Zechariah. I want to be like Elizabeth. I want to be like Mary. I want to say yes. And nobody looking around. But the Lord is speaking right to your heart. You want to say yes this morning to him. I just want you to slide your hand up and say, Lord, that's me this morning. Somebody else would say, that's me. Amen. Somebody else would say, that's me. Hallelujah. I got two yeses back there. Hallelujah. Same person right over here. Amen. You can put your hand down. That's fine. Lord's on you right now, and he's saying, I need a yes. I've been waiting. I got a place. Didn't put your hand up before. Lord's speaking right to your heart and says, give me a yes. That's you this morning. Slide your hand up. Say, that's me. Anybody else? Anybody else? Hallelujah. Right there, yes.